Peter Stewart describes the process in arriving at the final design.
We had a workshop whereby we asked about 30 participants for ideas. We all huddled down into groups and individuals and sketched out ideas. We initially developed 70 ideas. When we collated them, there were actually 26 distinct ideas in there.
And what were some of the more outlandish ones, do you remember?
The more outlandish ones, I think, certainly worthy of mention, was a floating bridge, breakwaters. We had dual-use tunnels that we were going to put the road and rail in the same tunnel. We had a separate tunnel for the road, just leave the rail alone. We had a bridge over the headlands, over the top of them. And then we had what we call the Italian solution, which was tunnel, bridge, quite dramatic.
From the 26 ideas submitted, 4 preferred options were presented to the community. In order to involve the community in the process, the RTA formed a consultative committee. Alice Eyre is a member.
This committee started off a little bit split between the people who wanted it opened instantly and the people that wanted it shut, and the other people that knew that it was essential we had to have the road, not only for ourselves but for Wollongong as well, and that it had to be built properly, not a temporary thing. And since then, we have become almost like a friendly family now, and things are getting solved very quickly and very smoothly. This is the first committee that's ever done this. We're going by the seat of our pants.
How important was the concept of aesthetics in designing this new road or bridge?
It was very important to us, to the extent that we've built in features that we believe are, you know, quite expensive features to actually make it more attractive. The final solution is 2 different bridges meeting at a point, and that we've made the northern bridge deeper than it need be, but so that when the 2 bridges meet, they are seamless. It looks like it's one bridge. That's cost money, but I think it's worthwhile. We don't want to produce a product that looks as if it's cheap and nasty. We want to make it look good for many years to come.
When you sort of came up with the final design, what was the community's response to this proposal then?
We presented the preferred option to the community consultative committee, and at the end of the presentation they clapped. From all the studies that have been done, it will have little impact on the environment. In fact, it's probably quite environmentally responsible solution in that it has very few points of contact with the natural environment, and it will allow the existing road just to go back to its natural state over time. It'll be environmentally very attractive. I think from a driver's experience, it'll be quite spectacular driving from south to north down the sweeping curve through the southern amphitheatre and then seeing the bridge disappear around that headland and following the sweep around. It's been a very dramatic drive, I would have thought.
What do you think about the plan for the curved bridge now, the 2 bridges together that the RTA is going to build? How do you feel about that?
I don't care what they do as long as they do it quick.
I think it's great to people's feelings to drive through there and look at those big cliffs and know they're safe.
Do you love your road?
Well, I don't know if I'd love it, but I'd like to be able to drive on it. It was bloody handy.
Pat Simpson is a Stanwell Park resident.
I just want an option that is cost effective and that will give me the access that I used to have. I want access to the northern suburbs of Wollongong because that's where my friends are, that's where my social life happens. And I'm not talking trivially about that. I'm talking about services that are delivered to me that I have accessed over the years. As far as expense of the options is concerned, I want a safe option.
I just want to see the road fixed before I die.
When the new bridges will be constructed, do you think that'll be the end of your problems with Lawrence Hargrave Drive?
I think the bridges will deal with the issues in our worst area of Lawrenceside Drive, where we have the rockfall and the embankment failures. But we really haven't addressed all the other issues of Lawrenceside Drive, of all the other slips that exist along it. And a lot of these slips aren't associated just with the road. They're global slips, which the road sits on. In many cases, the road and the railway line sit on them. They extend beyond the railway line, and they extend below the road as well. So it's not something that we can deal with ourselves. So, yeah, basically the road on either end is still a problem which we'll have to deal with in the future.
That road will be the greatest tourist attraction in the South Coast. We'll have tourists galore coming down through the Illawarra. I see the future for the businesses that are doing it tough now. When the road is opened, it's going to mean more jobs for the businesses that are there, and I doubt whether the businesses will be able to handle it.
I just stress again the enormity of the site. To have a site of this magnitude in terms of the geometry, the physiology, the geography, the geology, the rainfall, the climate, the ocean, all rolled into one, it's arguably one of the most challenging sites to put any road through. And I think that's what makes it so unique. And I don't think we'll find anything quite this challenging again on the Australian mainland.
This oral history project has documented the background and significance of the Coast Road, Lawrence Hargrave Drive, to the local community. It has also recorded the history, lives, aspirations, and occasional frustrations of some of the local people who rely so heavily on this road for access. Part 2 of this oral history project will document the challenges involved in the construction process. The opinions expressed in the oral history interviews are those of the individuals concerned and do not necessarily represent in whole or in part the position of the New South Wales Roads and Traffic Authority.